62 days later, and then there were eight. Welcome into a special edition of the LL All Ball Podcast with Andrew Callahan and John Buffone of Game Time PA here to break down the LL Boys Hoops bracket as we head into one of the most exciting tournaments in recent memory. John and I will be bringing you our picks for the 2015-2016 Lancaster-Lebanon Boys Champion surprise team to have to make it, and picks for the first quarterfinal matchups, all of which will tip off at 7 p.m. on Saturday the 6th, with the exception of Elko at McCaskey. But John, before we get there, it took every last minute of regular season basketball to get where we are. We had a couple spots still up for grabs, and we finally have this bracket set. You know, what stood out to you, though, on that Tuesday that just passed that was just the craziest bit that we had of basketball?
Well, you had a lot of teams, you know, frantically trying to get into the league playoffs, and it came down to the last game. I think Cedar Crest, you know, making that last push to get in after they were thought of as maybe the Section 1 favorite going into the season and halfway through the season even, right, and then hitting some hardships, going through a little bit of a losing streak, and then putting it all together, putting that pass and be able to get in as the second place team in Section 1.
Right, and of course they got a little bit of help. Hemphill falling in a nail-biter, 56-53 at McCaskey. Hemphill would have had the tiebreaker over Crest and denied them a chance to three-peat in the LL tournament. Nevertheless, the Falcons make it. And we actually had a quick chance to chat with Tom Smith about what it meant to finally get in his thoughts on what should be an exciting balanced tournament going forward.
Well, for us in general, I mean, Lampeter-Strasburg is as good as they get. You know, so we play them first round. If we're fortunate enough to get past them, you know, we got our hometown rival. I'm assuming they get through Lancaster Mennonite, you know, in the second round. And then, of course, you know, if we're fortunate enough to get through them and McCaskey makes it through their side of the bracket, you know, we get a third shot at them. So, you know, it's a, you know, all hands on deck for us all three games. But if there are, you know, three teams that this group would want to play, it'd be these three.
Right. So now, you guys have had all hands on deck in that finale against Penn Manor. You know, looking at the box score, I wasn't there, but could tell that you had an effort reminiscent of last year. Four guys in double figures. You know, you're there from the start all the way to the finish. What culminated for you yesterday that had kind of been missing when you faltered a little bit there in section play that kind of put you in that position on Tuesday?
You know, I think the kids just understood at the point of time where we're at. You know, the sense of urgency that we've been talking about, you know, and we said that, you know, even though we still needed help last night, we controlled our own destiny, because if we didn't win last night, it didn't matter about McCaskey Hemphill. And, you know, we were essentially in a playoff game to start last night. You know, our playoff started last night. So that was our mindset. And, you know, I just think the sense of urgency that as a staff we brought to practice, as you know, we brought to pregame last night and really got the kids ready to go. And they went out and they played well.
No, I know you haven't watched a ton of film on LS, but 21-1. Almost speaks for itself. What about them, you know, maybe not one or two things, but just makes them so tough and know you're going to have a battle on Saturday?
I mean, looking at their box score reminds me a lot of our team from last year. And speaking to some of the coaches throughout the league, you know, they've kind of said the same thing, that the group of kids that they have just play so well together. You know, there's not a selfish individual on the team. And there's, looking at their points per game average, there's not one kid we can pick out and, okay, we stop him, now we stop everyone. And, you know, so we're going to have our hands full.
Now, looking at them and then the other six teams you'll see in the bracket, is there any one that you think could kind of surprise? Because this seems to me at least a year where, you know, everyone's pretty beatable. You know, and that's played out with whatever section it's been. Anyone you see that maybe didn't meet in the regular season but kind of see from afar they can make a run?
Well, I think there are two teams, in my opinion. Number one, Lampeter-Strasburg.
Okay.
I mean, I think they're as good as a team as they're in this playoff. And I thought Section 3 of the Lancaster-Lebanon League this year was as good a section as there was across the board, top to bottom. You know, so I think they're – and I also think Lebanon. I think Lebanon can make a run at this. You know, Coach Sparrow does a great job, and they're tough. So those two teams on our side of the bracket, I really think, you know – could really put a run in here and give the other side, you know, in the championship game a run for their money.
And of course, we appreciate Tom Smith taking the time to share those thoughts on, you know, their upcoming matchup and more. The Falcons will take on Lampeter-Strasburg, which went 21-1 this season down at their place. But big picture speaking, the biggest roadblock to Cedar Crest perhaps three-peating is going to be the roadblock they face twice this season in McCaskey. McCaskey, we mentioned, the only 6 p.m. tip-off, they're going to host Elko. Again, we're going to go down here with each of the quarterfinal games and then move on. But what strikes you most about that matchup with the Red Tornadoes and Elko?
Well, you look at McCaskey and what they want to try to do. They want to try to run everybody out of the gym because they are an extremely athletic team. They can get up and down in transition. They love to get the ball off. They love the defensive rebound and go. Just send them all and then try to beat everybody else down. And they've done that fairly well throughout the season. Obviously, they've hit some roadblocks. They had a bad loss at Solanco, but they have the highest ceiling out of everybody in the LL. They can play as good as anyone. You've seen that they can have some hiccups as well. That bad game against Reading, but obviously that's Reading, so they don't have to worry about them in the LL.
And that might be a euphemism. 103-51. We can get into that a little bit later. But I think the piece you just mentioned right there is very key about this McCaskey team. They probably have the highest ceiling, whether you want to combine their offensive talent, athleticism, in the league. There's no disputing that. But their problem has been reaching that for whatever reason. Motivation. You know, there's certain teams that they face, they've been unable to run or put things together. And I think in a game against Elko, who, you know, on paper you might look at, the Raiders have had an excellent season. They're 19-3, finished runner-up in Section 2. You know, they're going to certainly be an underdog heading into there. But that's a team where if they get an early lead, because the Raiders are known for the three-point shooting above all, they might be able to hang with McCaskey, provided they're not allowed them to run, which of course is probably the key to the game.
Well, yeah, and there's been spurts throughout the season where McCaskey's had dry spells of not being able to score. And if Elko can all of a sudden get a hot streak where they're hitting from behind the perimeter or they're making a lot of shots in a row, they can potentially build up a lead or come back from a deficit if that's the case. So there could be opportunities for Elko to be in this. It's just that if McCaskey plays to their full potential, they're really, really hard to beat.
Right, and I think there's another point, too. You mentioned falling down in early deficits. And the two biggest Elko losses this season, both to LS, of course, another really good team in this year's bracket, they were down by double digits like that in the first quarter. And that's something you cannot afford to do against McCaskey because, A, that means they're out and running, and, B, that means you play on their turn for pretty much the last three quarters. So I think in addition to needing that fast start, having to deal with an athleticism that Elko has not seen this entire year, and stepping into an atmosphere that Colton Lawrence, you know, the senior star for Elko, who's played all 4 years at the varsity level and be playing, you know, perhaps D2 or even D1 next year, mentioned, you know, that's something they can't prepare for. They haven't seen. I think the adjustment of all those things, despite their hot shooting, is probably going to lead me towards a McCaskey pick here and pick the Red Tornadoes to move on. I think it'll be a close game, but it's just too much to adjust to, you know, right off the bat, atmosphere, athleticism, and playing a different style for the Raiders to pull an upset there on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm also going to take McCaskey. I mean, don't underestimate the advantage they have at home either. That's a rocking atmosphere whenever you're in Lancaster City playing at McCaskey. And they've shown that they can pull out close games too. The last game of the season, they edged out Hemphill in a game that Hemphill needed, and they ended up beating them 56-53, being able to close it out, making clutch free throws by Randolph Speller. Not to mention that McCaskey might have you can have the debate between Evan Horton and Kobe Gantz, but you have arguably the best player in the LL and Kobe Gantz, or at least the most exciting player,
offensively talented.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. So it's hard to contain all that, and I just give an edge to McCaskey.
So both of us would put McCaskey into the semifinals, which will be Tuesday the 9th. They would await then, in that scenario, the winner of Section 2's runner-up CV, which will be at Lancaster Catholic. CV is 16-7. They dropped the regular season finale, an overtime affair at E-Town. Meanwhile, Lancaster Catholic has really been in control of a poor Section 4, you know, this year. And this one's a tough one. I think in either instance, you're looking at McCaskey would probably have an easier test in the semifinal, depending on who comes out of this one. I'm going to lead here with the Buckskins, though, because I think they got a good core of veterans. They have had their fair tough battles this year, but I think they carry them on the road against the Crusaders.
Yeah, and I want to say the same thing for Conestoga Valley on a smaller scale than what I say about McCaskey. They have the potential to play really well, and they also have the potential to fall behind as well, because some of the games that I've seen this year, they've been behind in double digits, and all of a sudden they catch fire and they are back in the game.
Right.
But Lancaster Catholic, you said, in a kind of a watered down Section 4, they had to edge out Lancaster Mennonite night twice to be able to claim the Section 4 title. I'll lean CV just because I've seen what their potential is. They have athletes like Javon Marrero, Grant Stoltz, who can hit, knock down jumpers if he given an opportunity. So I'll give the slightest of edge to Conestoga Valley, but it's not going to be any easy task to go into Lancaster Catholic and pull out a win against the Section 4 champions.
Right. Another tough test would be for Lancaster Mennonite, the runner-up in that Section 4. They finished an even 11-11 this year. They traveled to Lebanon, which, ironically enough, is where they started their year with the tip-off tournament. Big blowout win for the Cedars, which at last captured Section 2 after stumbling Monday against Solanco at home. They beat Garden Spot last night. That was one of those, you know, LL spots that had been solidified, but what was the order going to be with the Cedars? They finally take care of business. They've actually got a game Thursday at Hershey. Non-league doesn't matter too much, big picture, the exception of district rankings. I think here it's really going to be hard to go against the Cedars. And we actually had a chance to catch up with Tim Spiraw about what it's been like adjusting from the midseason when they had a key injury to Cam Chalk, who was a big shooter for them, and who he actually likes in the rest of the bracket this year in the LL tournament.
I'm proud of the kids. You know, like I said, we fought through some adversity. Obviously, losing Cam was huge, you know, right in the middle of the season. You know, fought through some internal issues, but you know, I think we're coming around. We're starting to play better as a team. People are filling into their roles a lot better, and kind of, you know, picking up for Cam not being there. So it feels good, you know, two section titles in 3 years. Kind of a different group of kids, except for Maddie. Maddie's the only one that was really on both. You know, I'm proud of the kids. I'm happy for them. But, you know, they also understand that, you know, it's time to get back to business.
Now, I know it's, you know, from our previous conversations, it's certainly been one of those years where, you know, top to bottom, it seems like everyone in the LL is pretty beatable, which should make for an exciting tournament. What do you think stands out about this year's bracket in particular, given we didn't have about half of it solidified, you know, until last night and all the league finales were finally in the books?
Right. I think that says a lot about our league, just that, you know, each section has three, four, you know, at least teams that can compete, you know, for the top spot in their section, much less the league. So I think it's going to make it interesting. It's going to make it competitive. I mean, different teams throughout the year have stepped up and beat, you know, the top teams in each section. So, I have a feeling that'll probably play out at some point in the playoffs as well. Hopefully it's just not us.
So. Of course. Now, you had the benefit, you know, with your early tip-off tournament against Mennonite and, of course, Elko, to see every team in the bracket, you know, including yourself with the exception of Lancaster Catholic, and I think there's one more in there, of course, LL.
LL.
Among those other five teams, do you think there's one, you know, of course, if there's no favorite, there can't be a dark horse, but that might be able to surprise, you know, given the one-and-done nature of the bracket, and could make a run to the championship, anyone you see out there?
I saw LS play, and, you know, I was impressed with them, just with their teamwork, the way they played together, that they're very balanced. They have a bunch of different guys that can score. So I was impressed with them. I mean, obviously, you know, McCaskey is McCaskey, and you know, Kress gave us fits, and you know, they're defending their title. So, it could be anyone. You know, it really could. It could be anyone.
All right, but let's say you were somehow able to take care of business all the way to the championship and make a run like you did a couple of years ago. What in your mind would have been the key that got you there, you know, through to the league final?
I think it would just be making sure that we have a balanced attack. We don't really have that one guy that's going to drop 25, 30 a game that's going to carry us. So we got to just make sure that everybody's playing their roles. You know, we're getting balanced scoring, maybe three, four guys in double figures. And I think the biggest key would be our defense. We just have to execute better defensively than we have in the past couple games. And just, you know, make sure that we're locking people down, that we're rebounding well, cause we're not very big. So I think defensively is probably the biggest key, and then balanced scoring would be the second biggest key.
Interesting thoughts, Ron, but I don't think I see any disagreement on your face over there about the Cedars moving on to the semifinals.
No, I just think that that Lebanon is better prepared to win this game. I think that they have more weapons to use in this, and they're going to be at home. And I just think, if you're going to play the odds, then I think the odds are in Lebanon's favor here. I'm going to take the bet on them.
Yeah, and I think their press, too, can get problematic, too. You know, we talked about in the special girls LL bracket edition with, you know, with Pat Huggins about Lancaster Catholic and their press and what they can do. You know, Lebanon not so much known for that, but they've got the athletes, really, just to kind of get up in your chest, pose some problems when they need to, get those easy buckets, and I think we'll see that come to fruition against Lancaster Mennonite. Rounding out the last of the quarterfinals, two-time reigning champion Cedar Crest at 17-5. At LS against Cedar Crest, needed that win Tuesday and a loss from Hempfield in order to get in. But baby, they're dancing. And that's all that matters right now. The only thing is they might be up against the most experienced and well-coached team in the league. Combining those two factors, of course, has won a lot of good coaches in the league. LS 21-1, and that one loss was against the night where Kokalko's Tucker Lesko just went off.
Right. You look at this game and you say whoever wins this has the inside track of going to the championship game from their side of the bracket. It's an interesting dynamic because whenever we talk about Lamprey or Strasburg, you talk about a team that is very well rounded and doesn't show a whole lot of weakness anywhere in the armor. But then you look at the Cedar Crest dynamic as well, where it's they've been here before, they know what it takes, and whenever the light is shining the brightest, they know how to turn it on, and they have the players, and obviously one of the best players in the league, and Evan Hornet on their team as well. I, to this moment where we have to pick a winner, I still don't know who I'm taking. but
we got to decide soon.
Yeah, I know. So I'm gonna pull the trigger and I'm gonna give the edge to Cedar Crest ever so slightly on the road. I'm sure the LS guy people were gonna be not happy with that.
But that's what we're here for, to be media punching bags.
Exactly. So I just think that come tournament time, Cedar Crest knows what it takes to get things done.
And you certainly could see that in their season finale at Penn Manor, a game in which they really had to have it. Mm-hmm. You know, the Comets weren't the greatest team, but they had senior night. They were at home, and it was only, a close loss there. It took a fourth quarter comeback for Cedar Crest to dispatch at Penn Manor at their place earlier this year, but they certainly took care of business when it counted down in Millersville. You know, this is a tough one for a lot of the reasons you just mentioned. And the thing for me that stands out is LS, in addition to being experienced, in addition to being well-coached, has a lot of different players that can go to at both ends of the floor. And unless Cedar Crest gets that same effort, which they have, which it's certainly possible, but it's a very different group this year than we've seen in years past.
Absolutely.
You know, you have guys like Cole Laney stepping up. Isaiah Trimble's been good from the perimeter. Ramey Ferreira finally got in double figures against Penn Manor. Unless that replicates itself, which we haven't seen too often, I think LS is going to go, because what they also have is guys who can defend individually. Really across the board. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we mentioned Matt Achille, coach's son, and you can tell that. He makes a lot of really good decisions, knows where to be in the right position. Ben Sandberg can jump out of the gym for LS. And, again, there's a reason they're 21 and 1.
Absolutely.
It's because they're very effective at both ends. And I think, having that hour-long trip, they've been in that spot before. I think LS is going to be able at least to throw enough bodies at Evan Horn where he's going to get his, without a doubt.
Yeah,
he's going to get in the boards. But they might be able to lock down everybody else just enough where that effort that Cedar Crest would need can't exactly come through. I think it's going to be really close, but I'm going to put LS into the semifinals where I believe they would face Lebanon and perhaps go on to see the championship at Manheim Township on Thursday. But again, really close, really interesting matchup. I'm going to go with the Pioneers there. And, of course, Cedar Crest does pull it off in Lebanon, as we expect. We would have a rematch of one of the biggest rivalries in the LL, and certainly the biggest non-sectional rivalry, with Lebanon and Cedar Crest tipping off in what would be a semifinal on Tuesday. Now, out of all the picks that we just made, which one for you could be the surprise team that makes a run that right now initially we don't see, but you know what? If we saw them on Thursday playing at Township, it wouldn't be a huge surprise.
Now, this may not seem like the biggest surprise in the world, but I picked Cedar Crest to win, and I think that would be the surprise to see. I guess you could say technically that falls under the surprise aspect that you would see them on Thursday, because they are going up against such a great Lampeter Strasburg team on Saturday. So that would be my surprise, and quite frankly, I think it would be fun to see another Cedar Crest McCaskey championship.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just because it was... So the atmosphere last year at Township,
bonkers,
unbelievable, and people were standing around the track. There was nowhere to sit at all. As a media member, I was on the floor.
I think I was in some guy's lap.
It was jam packed because of just the. It's always a fun game when those two get together. So I would say that would be even though it's not the biggest of surprises, because I don't think it would shock anybody, but that would be my surprise pick.
Yeah, you're going on a limb that's about 1 foot off the ground.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the safest of surprises you could ask for.
So perhaps not as balanced of a girls bracket that we just talked about, you right. know, beforehand, where you could have a lot of different teams coming out. You know, for a surprise team, I'll go on a limb a little bit higher off the ground. I'm going to go with Elko. You know, you mentioned McCaskey could very well coast its way to a championship, but I think, you know, they have that asset that you need to really spring big upsets in that mm-hmm. shooting. That's something that cannot be denied to them. If they're able to handle all those things that I alluded to earlier, which I ultimately think might be a little bit too much, the atmosphere, the athleticism, you know, the different style of play, if they can get a handle on that early, they can go punch for punch with McCaskey, particularly from the outside, and get themselves into comeback mode awful quickly. As we saw at the very beginning, their second game of the season overcame a 10-point deficit in under a minute at Lebanon.
Right, right.
And Lebanon's a team that, you know, likes to run a little bit like McCaskey, mm-hmm. get those easy buckets, a different style of team. But I think Elko could be right there. Then, of course, they'd face the winner of CBU and Lancaster Catholic. We think McCaskey's going to breeze through that and get to the championship. I think Elko could very well do the same thing. And perhaps, you know, we mentioned round three of Cedar Crest McCaskey.
Mm-hmm.
Well, lo and behold, Elko LS would also be not such a surprise round three. LS edging the Raiders both times. To say it's tough to beat the three team three times. And I can tell you for a fact, having covered probably their last, it feels like a dozen, but it's only about four games. Elko would really love to see LS a third time.
An all Section 3 championship game. I mean, you could make the argument that it was one of the most solid section in the LL.
I think it certainly was. I mean, you look at Cocalico was right then and there at the end. Manhattan yeah. Central was a potential yeah. berth until last Friday when they lost to the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
But I think overall, you know, what you look for with these kind of tournaments is to have the eight best teams in there.
Yeah.
You know, given the structure that we have, two teams from each section, I think that's exactly what you got.
You got some great matchups here. For the format goes, I think that you can make an argument. There's always going to be an argument who's left out and kind of things right. like that. But I think as far as the brackets go, I think the eight most deserving teams are in there.
Okay. So we got a surprise team. We got our quarterfinal winners. Lay it all on the line. We need a pick from John Buffone. 2015-2016 LL Boys Basketball Champion will be
the Red Tornado of J.P. McCaskey. I just think that they because of what I've seen in the past, and because last year they were the same kind of. I mean, they don't have the same players. Obviously, they graduated a good amount, but it was the same attitude where they had a lot of hiccups in the regular season. They didn't really take any. They didn't take home any hardware. They didn't win the section,
mm-hmm.
But. Towards the end of the year, they made the state semifinals, and a team that just turned it up when they needed to. And I think that with Kobe Gantz being a senior this year and being the full out leader of this team, last year he was starting with four other seniors, so he was still, you know, arguably their best offensive weapon.
Well, he's Speller too now.
Right? Yeah, and those two have great chemistry as well, and they're bringing the other guys up to their level. So I think that it's a different attitude because when they clinched Section 1 this year, mm-hmm. I was talking to Kobe Gans, he said, "We haven't ever won a section. We were going to win the section this year," and you could see that he meant it. They were focused on winning the section, and to kind of paraphrase what he was saying, he's like, "We want to take hardware home our senior year." So you get the section. Obviously, they're looking forward to leagues now, and so far, and you know, further. And he even said that we're setting our aims back to getting back where we were last year and beyond. And we're talking about that would mean state finals.
Pretty damn impressive.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that this is a team that maybe you saw some hiccups in the regular season, but when it's do or die, when it's win or go home, they're going to turn it on. And I think that gives them the inside edge for this tournament.
You know, I like a lot of your reasoning. So I'm going to steal it, and okay. I'm going to apply it to a different team.
Okay.
Lampeter Strathmore.
All right. That makes all the sense in the world.
It's another senior-laden team, and I think we're going to know a lot from folks who have not been following them. And, you know, like I said, I've only been able to get down there just once and followed a lot of video as much as I can. It's a team that makes a lot of good decisions, mm-hmm. and that carries over whether it's the first quarter in crunch time. You know, they were down big at Cucalco in the regular season finale mm-hmm. just last night and were able to dig themselves out of a hole to the tune of a 24-2 run. So they know how to respond, and they know how to respond in a big way. This is a team that I think has been on a mission for a couple of years now, and that's culminating here. And what better way to start for them than to see the two-time reigning league champs? It's going to be close. It'll be another test. I think they make it to the championship game. And whether they see Elko or McCaskey or somebody else there, I think they're going to be able to lock down in crunch time, like you said. And they don't give the ball away. Mm-hmm. They do everything that they need to, and they're very efficient. And I think that's going to carry them to a league championship for Section 3. But, you know, there are a handful of teams that really could get there. Wouldn't surprise me too much either way. But if I had to put all my eggs in the basket, that would be the one belonging to the Pioneers.
That's a great pick as well. So, I mean, that's showing you some of the depth in this tournament. You have teams from both the top and the bottom of the bracket that, I mean, it's going to be fireworks from the word go, because Saturday is going to be exciting.
And Saturday, word go will start at 6 p.m. down in Lancaster as Elko takes on McCaskey. The rest of the matchups, CV at Lancaster Catholic, Lancaster Mennonite at Lebanon, and Cedarcrest at Lampeter Strasburg will all tip at 7 p.m. We will have live coverage and complete updates from all of those games and later game stories and video at GameTimePA.com. So for GameTimePA's John Buffone, this is Andrew Callahan signing off on a special edition of the LL All Ball podcast, breaking down the LL Boys Basketball Tournament for the 2015-2016 season. We'll see you out there.